This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, the podcast dedicated to building awareness, understanding, and strategies to help those with dyslexia. I'm your host, Lisa Parnello, dyslexia therapist and founder of Parnello Education Services. Join me as we dive into today's episode of Dyslexia Devoted. Hello there, and welcome to episode number 96 of Dyslexia Devoted. And today we are talking about dyslexia and college. This episode is inspired by a couple different things this week, one of which is that the very first kids I started working with dyslexia are now headed off to college either next year or the following year. So right now is when they're starting to look into colleges and apply to them and take their SATs this week, which, oh my goodness, I'm nervous for them. And it's not even me taking the test. And one of the big factors is deciding how the colleges will help support their dyslexia is part of the process of picking a college. And then the other inspiration for this is last week I had lunch with my friend Anne, who diagnoses kids with learning differences, and she also collaborates with and she works with a center that does support for college students who have dyslexia in our area. And so when I was talking with Anne last week, she met with me and we were chatting about different ways to support kids with dyslexia, because in college, the support looks real different. So let's take today to talk about what some of those differences are for kids with dyslexia as they transition and get older. A lot of times I talk about, you know, the younger kids, because a lot of times that's when the parents have the most questions, is when they're in that elementary and middle school kind of years. By the time we get to high school, most of the parents kind of have their groove and they know what their kid needs and they know what supports they need and they kind of have, you know, the lay of the land. But then we throw a wrench in things once we start talking about college, because that changes stuff. So kids and their parents get the lay of the land because they learn how the IEP process works, they learn how 504 plans work for accommodations, and they know what it takes for their child to be successful, or the kid knows what they themselves have to do to be successful. They know what their accommodations are, they know how to ask for them. And then we think about college. IEPs do not transition into college. So that means by the end of high school, you better have everything all sorted out. And there are ways that you can get support in college, but it really depends on the college itself and the way they choose to do things. And accommodations look a lot different because there are only accommodations, not modifications, meaning you can't have shortened assignments. Your assignment is just as long as everybody else's is. You can get quiet testing space and extended time, but sometimes that looks a little different. So sometimes if you have extended time, you have to take your test on a different day, maybe a less convenient day. And different things like that. A lot of times the accommodations in college are pretty basic. So thinking about, you know, what are the bare minimums? Things like audiobooks and, you know, knowing that you can have some extra time to do an extension on something. Sometimes they can do note takers. Also, depending on where they go to college, sometimes those exceptions to taking a foreign language class, sometimes those things change as well. I know some kids choose not to do a foreign language in high school because it is really difficult for them to learn their own language for reading and spelling. So they might choose to take sign language as their language choice and things like that. And depending on where you go to college, if that college has a language requirement, sometimes they do waive it and sometimes they don't. It depends on the actual college or university and what they say they are willing to do. So with all of these possibilities, as a student who's looking at colleges, that has to be one of the number one priorities, is looking at which ones have the most support. Which ones have centers for people with learning differences to get support from each other? Which places have tutoring centers within the university or the college system? which colleges are more amenable to some of those accommodations that the students are used to. There's one of the girls who kept sending me messages every time she found out information about one of her colleges and was like, nope, not that one. They're not helpful at all when it comes to learning differences. Versus, ooh, look at this one. They have an entire center for people with learning differences at their university. That one should definitely be at the top of my list. And looking to see just how supportive they are. If somewhere is not very supportive, then no matter how great of a school it is, it does not mean that it's great for you. And then with the conversation that I had with my friend Anne last week, we were chatting about what does it look like to support kids in college who have learning differences. And that was actually one of the biggest struggles of our conversation was, well, how do we know which one is most important to them? When we think about a child in college who is now an adult with a learning difference, and they're still in that process of learning, they're not really out in the career world just yet, what are the things that they want and need? A lot of her program does work with executive functioning. So helping the college students how to plan out their assignments, how to break down their really large assignments into smaller ones, how to teach the kids to use audiobooks or other assistive technology in order to get their assignments done in the proper amount of time, how to help the kids ask for the different accommodations and testing environments and things like that. And I keep calling them kids because I guess maybe it's one of those things as you get older, they all seem like kids if they do not have like a full-time job and have to pay their bills all the time. But young adults, I guess that would be the proper term I should really be using. But I think it's because some of these kids I'm talking about, I've known them since they were 8. So in my brain, they will always be kids no matter how old they are. So as we help these young adults, what might they want support in? Do they just need to use audiobooks and accommodations for the rest of their life? What if there's a few kids who didn't find out they had dyslexia till they were older? What if there are students who never got remediation because they were just so good at having coping skills that they managed to pass their high school classes and get into college, but never actually got any real remediation? What about those kids? Should those young adults have programs that they can utilize so that they can get dyslexia remediation? What if you have a student who was going through the IEP process and had their IEP plan and they were getting remediation, but then they never finished? A lot of times dyslexia remediation, especially if they start when they're a lot older, takes years. It often takes 2 or 3 years to completely remediate the dyslexia struggles with reading and spelling. So what if they'd never finished that process? Or a student with a really severe learning difference might take 5 years to get caught up to the level of reading that they are capable of. What does it look like for them when they didn't finish that, but they are capable of finishing learning how to read well? How can we put systems in place for those young adults, because I'm trying very hard not to call them kids, so that they can live up to their full potential? Because we think of college as a time to learn, but we think about it often as learning how to think about the world and how to determine, you know, how to utilize the skills that you're going to need for your career and things like that. But learning how to read is not on the plan for college. But does it need to be for some kids? Some young adults? Do they still need the chance to finish learning how to read because they were on a good path and then suddenly just stopped because graduation hit in high school? When you think about reading centers and tutoring centers, how old are those average kids? Usually younger, right? You don't think about someone who's 20 years old walking into a kid's reading tutoring center. But it's never too late to learn how to read. So thinking about where are places that a student who gets older can continue their learning path. Do they continue working with the teacher they used to work with, but in a different capacity? That's quite literally how I have a tutoring business, is kids who are no longer in my class anymore still needed support. Then the parents hired me to continue their child's learning. Their child was on a good path, and then either they changed classes or they changed schools or whatever it was, and they needed to keep learning how to read, even though they were not going to be in the same environment anymore. So for today's episode, I'm going to link you to different resources that I found for you from International Dyslexia Association and a few other places on information about accommodations and dyslexia in high school versus college, so that you can start learning some of the differences between the support systems that the kids get when they're in high school compared to when they're in college, because sometimes that could be a little bit of a shock to the system. For example, if a student is used to using a calculator as an accommodation, that may or may not be an approved accommodation for college. And so sometimes those things that these kids have come to rely on when they're younger, as they become young adults going into college, sometimes that support system changes, and we need to prepare those students to become young adults that have different supports in place. And under the Americans with Disabilities Act, a lot of resources are available all the way up through their actual career path, such as being able to use audiobooks and things like that, are an accommodation for dyslexia that can continue on. But certain other things, like changing what you have to get done, is not actually an option anymore. There is not any changing to what your assignments are once you hit college. You have to do the same work that everybody else does. And you might be able to use certain things like speech to text or things like that, or a quiet testing center, but you have no changes into what the actual assignment is. Versus in high school and in middle school, a lot of times there are some modifications as students are learning how to read and things like that. So our jobs as the adults in these kids' lives is to help prepare them for those adjustments and how to help them pick the right colleges and right universities that really support their learning differences, because they can go to college, they can graduate, they can do well in life, but we got to set them up for success by picking the right place for them. Because even if it sounds really great on paper, if there's no help for them once they get there, it's not really a great place to be. All right, so to recap, as students get older, there is a change in process for what accommodations and supports look like between high school and college. A lot of times colleges focus more on the time and the quiet space for their accommodations and the audiobooks, and not always a whole lot beyond that. We also talked about finding the right location to get the right kinds of support. And we also mentioned the idea that support in college a lot of times is more on the executive functioning side of how do they plan to get their assignments done, as opposed to the like tutoring and remediation kind of support. All of the resources that I think would be really helpful to you are going to be linked in the show notes here, as well as on my website, parnelloeducation.com/episode96. And just like every episode, it's always /episode and whatever the number of the episode is. So if there's ever any resources you ever want from the episodes, it's always on my website as well as in the show notes, because I know it took me a while to figure out where the show notes even are in certain listening apps. Thank you so much for listening today, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to learn even more about dyslexia, check out parnelloeducation.com/courses. See you next time.